stand with me. We stand just to honor the reading of the Word of God. And so I'm going to just read one verse to start from the book of Jeremiah, this Old Testament. And I'm going to read the King James Version and then also the New Living Translation, and you'll see why. But Jeremiah 1 and verse 17, the King James says this: "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto all that I command thee. Speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." The New Living Translation says, "Get up and prepare for action. Go out and tell them everything I tell you to say." Today I want to speak from just this topic: get up and prepare. Get up and prepare. You can be seated today. Now, I just want you to know that it is not lost on me that I could have used the King's English for my title. I could message my title today, "Gird Up Your Loins," but I think I would get distracted by that title. So we're going to leave the King James for a little bit, come back to that, and we're going to kind of talk about the power of that message, although it is humorous in our common vernacular now. But I'm going to do something today for my message that I don't know that I've ever seen done in a church before or church context, and I'm going to preach and share the same message that I did last week, the same thing. And again, let me just give you some context. If church is not church is not your regular place on Sunday, but for me, traveling before being here as pastor, traveled a lot. I've been preaching sermons and sharing messages since I was 16 years old, preached my first sermon. But in that time, there's times where, the way my father kind of shared it to me, he said, you sometimes have a specific word that is a word that you feel like the Lord has given you that's for one service, for one people, for one message. He said, there's other times you have kingdom words. That's a word that you feel that you could speak that anywhere. It would have impact, it would have power. But as you travel, I would preach a message and try to record that. And then sometimes when you would get invited back somewhere, I'll just tell you, it's an eerie experience to stand in a pulpit and you're about to go into a message and there's this little thought in the back of your head that says, have I preached this exact message to this church before? It's just it's a little scary thing. I'm just telling you, I'm letting you in on kind of the public speaking side of things. But so today I'm kind of breaking the code. If you ever pastor a church, don't preach the same message twice to your church. So they're going to know. You can title it something different, obviously the same themes. But I'm kind of joking because I'm not going to just do the same thing. But the reason why I've kind of decided this direction is I was just praying this week and spending some time preparing. And I kept coming back to what we discussed last week. And if you weren't here, I'll get to it in a moment. But because I believe that what I shared and what I believe the Lord really ministered to our church last week is something that takes more than a week for us to digest, really more than a week for us to listen to and then apply. If church is your normal routine, the danger of coming to church regularly is we hear a message, we hear a positive, we hear something, we get challenged by the Word of God, we see something and we're thankful for it, but then a few days later we discard it in preparation for the next week, because the next week we're just ready for the next thing. So that in and of itself is its own cycle. But I do want to revisit some of what I spoke last week so that we can wrap our minds around it again and then take our next step in that. And so 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." The author is saying, yes, we're flesh and bone, but the truth is most of the battles that we fight are not physical battles. They're not battles of the flesh. What are they? They're battles of our mind, of our spirit, of our inwardmost being. And then he says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare," what we fight with, "is not carnal," not physical, not something we can grasp with our hands, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Key words, strongholds. And then it continues, "Casting down imaginations." Everyone, your imagination can run wild with a circumstance. What if? This could be. This is what's going to happen. "Casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." This is such a key passage for us. So to revisit this, I want to remind you that Satan, the enemy, the adversary of your soul, he exists and he has a desire and a plan for your life. And it begins by building a stronghold in your life. Where is that stronghold built? Well, you live three lives. You live a public life, you live a private life, and you live a thought life. And that thought life, there are things you don't even expose to your spouse or speak to anyone about. It happens within the confines of your mind and in your spirit. And so the enemy wants to build a stronghold in your life, more specifically in your mind, and he wants to use your thoughts to do it. Some thoughts originate from yourself. Some thoughts originate from people. They've said things to you. Some thoughts originate in other places. But at the end of the day, what happens? Why is it so easy to get trapped in a negative thought cycle? Because we are naturally negative when it comes to ourselves. So you may not think about it this way, but the truth is, many times you agree with the devil when it comes to yourself. And that's the danger. When you begin to agree, because the enemy says, well, you're not good enough. But guess what? You're also saying to yourself, I'm not good enough. You're believing that report. So like a stronghold, what happens is we begin to build a case. We begin to build these things up in our life. And so the word of God says, listen, your battles you face are not physical ones. They're mighty through God, through what? The pulling down of strongholds. So last week we talked about this, making a declaration. You know what? There's some things that I have thought about myself for so long that I have to reject, that I have to say, you know what? Yes, I know that this is the way I think. But what's amazing about Jesus Christ, Jesus doesn't just help you think better about yourself. He doesn't just make you a better version of yourself. The promise of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is that he transforms you into a new person. So it's not you need to think better of yourself. It's with the help of Jesus Christ, you can have a brand new mind and you can tear down these thoughts, these patterns, these cycles, these things, and you can demolish them once and for all and have a new mind in Jesus Christ. But if you tear down the strongholds, but then you don't deal with them again, you're just going to rebuild them. Why? Because as far as my thought process goes about myself, if it were like a puzzle to put together, the thing is, it's so easy to put back together because I know where every single piece goes. It's so easy to put all those thought patterns right back into place. So it's not enough to tear down strongholds in our mind of saying, you know what? This is a broken way of thinking. This is a bad way of thinking. This is not the way God wants me to think. Now, we also have to take into captivity every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So now that the strongholds have been torn down, now it's our job to bring those thoughts into captivity. What does that mean? Well, it's answering things with the word of God, because our weapons are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, not in ourselves. So we talked about that last week. Number one, tear down strongholds. Number two, bring our thoughts captive. But if you tear down strongholds but don't bring your thoughts captive, you're just going to immediately rebuild them again. What that looks like is you may have a wonderful experience with the Lord in this place, but by the time you get to the street, your mind is saying, none of that was real. That was just emotion. You're exactly the same. And guess what? You've just begun the process of rebuilding that stronghold. You've got to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. But if you try to bring thoughts captive, but you don't take the time to tear down those strongholds, you won't be able to overcome your own agreement with the devil. Because again, our natural tendency is to think badly of ourselves, right? I'm not talking about your public life. You can shake my hand and say, how is everything going? Everything's going great. Even your close friends, everything's going great. But you know in your mind, even right now, as I'm saying things, our own mind can argue with the word of God. We can argue. So we talked about that last week. And yes, it's good that we need to tear down strongholds. Yes, it's good that we need to make sure to bring our thoughts captive. But I don't think that's where the story ends for you and I, because it's not just enough. Because even with these things, if we do our best, at the end of the day, we are still in a defensive posture in our life. If that's the only place we ever go, then we live from waiting for the next attack, waiting for the next wave of anxiety to hit us, waiting for the next time you struggle, and then you've got the great preparation. Yeah, you've got a good plan, but right now the plan is, when I get hit with something, okay, I'm going to try to do better. But let me just declare to somebody that God's plan for you is not just to get by. It's not just to defend whenever things happen. God's plan for you is to have victory in your life, to overcome these things. If you want to win any battle, at some point you have to transition from defense to offense. So that's what we're doing today, is we're taking that next step to say, yes, I've been playing defense, trying to guard myself, trying to make sure I'm okay. But God's plan for you is to move forward in your life, not to be stuck fighting the same old battles day after day, week after week. God wants you to win. God wants you to overcome. God wants you to move forward. God wants you to have victory in Jesus' name. Get up and prepare, because God has something in store. Our title and our key text is pulled from the book of Jeremiah, which records the beginning of the account of Jeremiah, commonly known as the weeping prophet. He was the prophet who lived to see his beloved Jerusalem destroyed by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah called the people of Judah because they were turning their back on God. And so God spoke to him and said, you need to call my people back to me. So he had the challenging task of calling out against his own people to repent from their sinful ways, to return to God. But I want to look at this young man, although it's not a direct parallel to what you're doing in your life. I want to see what happens when he responds to the call of God. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart. I made you special. I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. What an amazing word of God. What an amazing thing to be spoken over this young man. And in your life, hearing the word of God, you have had amazing things spoken over you. There's amazing promises about you. There's amazing truths about you in this book. But look at the response of Jeremiah. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He was a young man. Even in the midst of a direct message from God, Jeremiah responds with his inadequacies. And that reveals something that lives within each one of us. Whenever we see the plan of God laid out, or we see what could be, or we see some of the wonderful things that God has for us, because we don't think the same way about ourselves, we immediately respond with the way we see things. So God says, Jeremiah, I had a plan before you were even born. I knew you. I have a purpose. I have a plan. But because Jeremiah in his mind has a different perspective, he says, I can't do it. I can't do it. And we do the same thing. We can immediately, even if I said, God has plans for you. God has a future in store for you. God has a purpose. Even in the midst of what looks like the rubble of your life, God has a plan for you. And you can immediately rebut everything I'm saying in the privacy of your own mind. We all can do it, every single one of us, and you may be doing it right now. But look at the answer. What does God say? But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. Hey, don't say that. Don't speak it. I know that that may be in your mind, but don't even speak that. Why? For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command you, you will speak. So God said, listen, don't even say that about yourself. Let me rephrase, let me reposition your mindset. It's not about your inadequacies. It's not about your youthfulness. Because guess what? What's amazing about this, there's no way that Jeremiah could have overcome his youthfulness. He couldn't make his brain develop. He couldn't do it. That's who he was. That was his identity. And yet God said, you know what? I don't care about that, because it's not about that. It's about the fact that if you just go where I say go and you speak what I will speak, watch what will happen. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. He did this literally to Jeremiah, but he's doing the same thing to us today. God is doing the same thing to you and I. And we can see this in the book of Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Then God begins to speak over in verse 10. I'm setting you over nations, over kingdoms. I'm giving you a job to root out, a scary, dangerous job, to root out, to pull, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. All of these things. And then he says in verse 17, our key passage, he says, therefore, gird up thy loins. He says, get up and prepare for action. And then he says, go out and tell them everything I tell you to say. And look what he says. Don't be afraid of them. In verse 18, for behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city. Time out. Jeremiah is not getting in a fist fight with people. That's not what we're talking about. God said, listen, I've got a big job for you to do. You're going to call people out. You're going to go against the grain. You're going to go against culture. You're going to speak my word. I've given you some things you've got to say. I've given you some things that you've got to do. But don't be afraid of them. Don't even worry about their faces. Don't look at all that stuff. Because if you will do what I tell you, look at his promise. I will make you like a defensed city. Now, if he's not talking about physically, because Jeremiah is not getting in a fist fight with his brothers and the men of Judea. No, in fact, what he's saying is, I am going to guard your mind and your spirit like a defensed city. Look what he says. He said, behold, I will make thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against all the people of the land. And he says, and they will fight against you. Be certain, they're going to fight against you. You got to see that. You got to understand that. But they will not prevail against you. Why? Because I am with you. What am I trying to say? This is what you need to understand today. We sometimes, even trying to do all of the right things, find ourselves in a defensive posture of waiting for the next attack of the enemy, waiting for the next wave of anxiety, waiting for the next situation. And we're like, okay, God, I know you got me out before. You can help me. You can give me strength. But God says, listen, don't be afraid of them. And what you need to do is you need to get up, prepare, and start moving forward. That phrase of gird up your loins, I know it's a little humorous. In fact, if you want to just maybe just test that on your kids sometime, you're getting ready for school. Hey, children, gird up thy loins. Like, what are you talking about? But in the Bible, you have to understand that most, even men, wore like a tunic. And so whenever they were going to do some physical activity, they had a belt, like a girdle. And they would take like the back of that tunic and they would pull it up and they would tuck it in the girdle. That way they had more mobility. So what this is saying is he says, listen, you need to make sure that you are prepared for what I'm about to do next. So sometimes we're just sitting in a defensive mode saying, God, just get me out of this. God, just help me through. But God says, listen, if you will get up, if you will prepare, and if you will go and do what I tell you to do, I'm going to take care of your mind. I'm going to take care of your spirit. I'm going to take care of all this stuff. So if there's somebody that you're saying, I'm tired of fighting the same old fight, get up and start moving forward, and God's going to take care of your mind. God's going to protect your spirit. I'm telling somebody today, it's done playing defense. You need to get on the offensive and say, Lord, I'm ready to win some battles. God, I'm ready to do some things for you. And if you'll make that commitment, he'll protect your mind. He'll protect your spirit. He'll protect your thought process. But you've got to get up and prepare. I want to speak to somebody today. As God told to Jeremiah, wherever you go, God is with you. Whatever situation you find yourself in, God is with you. You got to be bold. If you feel to speak to somebody, share the word of God. Don't get up and say, well, today I feel this way. No, declare some things first about yourself. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. My body may feel weak, but I'm going to get up. I'm going to give God glory. I'm going to change my perspective, and I'm going to move forward. And it starts in your mind. It starts in your spirit. Before you speak a word to anyone else, speak a word to yourself. And don't let the word be, I can't do it. Let the word be, God, if you'll go with me, I'll go forward. God, if you go with me, I'll do it. God, if you protect my mind, I'll do what you want me to do. Oh, is there somebody today? You need to speak to yourself right now. You need to speak to your own mind right now. You need to speak to your own doubt right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm moving forward. In the name of Jesus, I'm tired of fighting the same battle over and over. I'm not playing defense. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to conquer in Jesus' name. Oh, there's power in declaring some things over your life. And you know we do it? We do it in Jesus' name. It's not by my power. It's not by my strength. But at the name of Jesus. Oh, can we give God thanks today? There's power in the way you think. There's power in what you say. There's power in what you declare over yourself. In Jesus' name. Obviously, the story, these battles are not literal. But God is saying, if you will trust me, if you will begin to move forward in your life and you begin to say what I want you to say, I will take care of your mind. I will take care of your spirit. So again, what is the application for us today? We get up so many times and we're so worried about playing defense. Well, I feel this way. I feel this way. How am I going to react to how I feel? How can I fix the way I feel? When the truth is, yes, tear down the strongholds in your mind. You know the broken thought patterns. You know the broken ways of thinking about yourself. You know how you can focus on your inadequacies. You know how you can hyper-focus on your imperfections. And we need to first of all say, Lord, yes, I am imperfect, but you are perfect. Yes, I am messed up, but that doesn't mean I have to stay messed up. Yes, I can't fix all this stuff myself. No, you don't have the power within yourself. That's why Jesus stepped in and did what you cannot do. And he forgave your sins. And he covered you in his blood. And he made you new. And he restored your mind. There are people here today that should not be here today. But for the grace of God, you may wonder, why are they so excited? Because you don't know what they were like before God found them. You don't know what their life was like. You don't know what their mind was like before they were transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God has not given us a spirit of fear. What has he given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. The verse does not say the spirit of fear does not exist. It said it's not something that God has given you. So the way I see this, I have sometimes, I'm so intent on making sure my public life looks like I've got a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But if internally in my thought process is governed by fear, do I really have a sound mind? No, your mind is a private thing. Your mind is a personal thing. If you want to have a sound mind, you cannot embrace and have a spirit of fear. But I'm talking to the person, you come to church Sunday after Sunday, but your mind is gripped with fear. And the word of God cannot get through the walls that you put up because God is not going to force his way into your life. God is not going to force his way into your heart. He is going to make himself available. But we have to say, Lord, I want you to come into my spirit. Yes. And if this is a new context for you, yes, I'm passionate about what I'm speaking about because this is not just a speech to me. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen people that their lives have been restored after doctors said there's no more hope, after therapists said we've tried all the techniques. There are people that are here today who their marriages have been restored because God transformed their mind. So today, let me just break it down like this. For some of you, there are the epic battles. There's the big battles that we have to face. Maybe for you today, I want to just say this. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, then that's a battle for you. And I want to encourage you to be baptized today. I would love to baptize you in Jesus' name. We have the baptistry ready. We have clothes. We have everything. And what we see is that when Jesus died, we identify with the death of Jesus by repenting of our sins, saying, Lord, I want to die to my old self. I can't make this better. I can't fix this. There's nothing I can do. I will always be broken. I will always be fallen. So Lord, I want you to forgive me of what I've done because I know that I've made mistakes. We identify with the death of Jesus we want to say, God, I want that old man to, as if he were dead. I want that old way of thinking, that old thought pattern, that old life pattern to die. And then we identify with the burial of Jesus. Jesus was buried for 3 days. In the same way, I would like to bury you in baptism today. And then when you come out of the water, the Bible says that all of your sins are completely washed away. And if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And you can experience that gift of baptism and then the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Spirit, when I read the Bible, when people receive the Spirit, they begin to speak in another tongue, a heavenly language, as a way to know, you know what, I've received this gift. We see it as the initial sign. So for you, if you've never been baptized today is your day. If you've never been baptized and church is a new context for you, just think about it because I would love to baptize you today in Jesus' name. But even as I speak these words, there are arguments in your mind why you should not. And I recognize that. And there's no pressure. This is an invitation. No one's going to twist your arm to be baptized today. This is an invitation to say God has something more for you, and it's not a better version of yourself, it's a new you. And I'm thankful for that today. Stand with me. I'm coming to a close. Romans chapter 12 says this: do not conform to the patterns of this world. KJV says, do not conform, be not conformed to this world. The other translations say, do not conform to the patterns of this world. So what is that? What are the patterns of our culture? You can pursue things in culture. You can bankrupt your life pursuing things in culture that someone else has created. You can bankrupt, even just as an example, let's just think of finances as an example of this principle. You can literally bankrupt your finances chasing an image that someone else has created of what you should be. Why? Because there's pressure to conform, right? We all face it. There's pressure to conform. What does the Bible say? Do not be conformed to this world. And he doesn't, again, the problem, what I'm saying to you today is not, hey, you can think better. And listen, I said this last week, I'm going to say it. I'm a reader of development and leadership. I believe in that. I believe in education. I believe that you should pursue that. I believe that if you've gone through things in your life, you've been through traumatic events, that counseling and therapy can be a very beneficial aspect of your life. I'm not negating those things. Please don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is that the promise of Jesus Christ is not you can think better of yourself. Because guess what? No matter what happens today, you will still be a fallen person. And you will make more mistakes. I will make more mistakes. That's not the promise. The promise is not think better. The promise is, but be ye transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. I can't renew your mind. Only God can do that. And if you really want to study this out, that's a continuous, not a one-time thing. This is a continual thing. Why? That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Another version says, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life. So guess what? As long as I'm conforming to the patterns and the culture of this world, what it looks like to me is, how am I supposed to know what the will of God is for my life? It's only when I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind can I then understand, God, what even do you want me to do with my life? And deep down within each and every one of us, even if you've been walking for the Lord, is these two forces at battle of, I want to do what I want to do. And then there's the eternal pull of, you were made to live for something more. There's something bigger, and that's Jesus Christ. And let me just close with this. Sometimes when we think about these ideas, we think of like the epic battles, right? The David and Goliath stories, the I overcame, and we share those testimonies. We have people that have said, I have overcome addiction. There are people in this house today that have overcome addictions, that went cold turkey off stuff you shouldn't have because of the power of God. There are epic battles you will fight, and that's wonderful. But there's also, just as important, I would say, is what we would call the daily habits. The uncelebrated, seemingly monotonous. And what is that? It's the way you think when you wake up in the morning. When you wake up, how do we do it? It's getting in the Word of God. When I have a wayward thought, how do I bring it into captivity? I've got to have the Word. Because I know the way, if I'm left to own my own devices, I can quickly find all of my inadequacies and I can rebuild all of the thought patterns that would destroy me if not for God. So today, what I'm telling you is that when you're in Christ Jesus, you can have a new mind. Not a better version of yourself, a new you. So I appeal to anyone, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you want to talk about it more, I would love to have that conversation and show you more in the Word of God, the promises about you. Because if you've never read it, there's some amazing stuff in this book about you, for you, available to you. But for our church family, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, we're going to do the same thing we did last week. Because you got to get in the habit of doing it. We're going to come down to the front together, and we're going to pray to tear down some strongholds in our mind. If you've got some broken thought patterns, some things, again, your weapons are not physical. And guess what? As long as you try to medicate it with some physical things, you'll never get to the heart of the issue. And you know that. Why? Because the root, your weapons are not physical. They're not carnal. they're mighty through God. That's why we pray. It's a weapon to the pulling down of strongholds. So we're doing three things today. We're pulling down strongholds in Jesus' name in our spirit. Then the next step is you got to begin to take those thoughts captive. Why? Because those thoughts will weave their way back into a stronghold immediately because they're patterns. Patterns are patterns for a reason. I could go down a whole line of mental ruts and the way your brain works and all that stuff, but you got to take thoughts captive. And then finally, it's a perspective shift of getting up, preparing, and moving forward. Because when you make that choice, God says, I'll make your spirit, your mind, like a city with defenses. I will defend your mind. I will make you like a walled city. And if you want that, you don't get that by playing defense. You get that by saying, you know what, Lord, today I'm going to declare, I'm going to walk boldly in who I am. I'm not a defeated person. I'm a child of God. You got to begin to speak some things over yourself and over your life. So it's no pressure. You don't have to do anything else, and you can stand right where you are and you can bow your head if you want to. But I want to invite you to come down to the front to pray together. If you would, could you just come now if you feel comfortable? Because we're going to pray together. The Bible speaks about joining together as a body and spending time connecting with one another. And we're going to begin to pray these prayers because you know what? Every single person in this room has to tear down strongholds. Nobody outgrows it. Nobody's exempt from it. Nobody's beyond it. It's something that we all have to do, and we have to do it continually. It's not a one and done thing. I know that you've got some negative thoughts that would love to linger in your mind. There's some thoughts maybe you haven't had for 20 years, but they try to find their way back into your spirit. But today, I'm telling you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. There's some things you can't medicate away. There's some things you can't drink away. There's some things you can't smoke away. God has to do a work in your spirit first, out of which everything else will flow. So right now, I want you to pray for some of those thought patterns in your life, because God can help you. God can do what you cannot do. And then we're gonna take captive every thought. If you've got some thoughts, that some cycles of thinking, some cycles of shame, some cycles of guilt that you think over and over, those things that you know are not those destructive thought patterns, I believe that those things can be broken in prayer today. And you just need to pray that prayer. God, help me, Lord. You see the thoughts that I think. I can't pray that prayer for you because I don't know your thought life. I don't know what's in your mind. Only you can pray that prayer. So right now, would you begin to pray today that God would help you to overcome these thoughts? And then also pray that, Lord, help me to get up and prepare, Lord, because I want you to defend my mind so I can't be just hidden in the corner of my life. I've got to become who you called me to be. Let's pray together right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that we would tear down the strongholds in our mind, God. There are some thoughts, Lord, that we have thought over and over, and they have kept us in a destructive cycle of thinking. But in Jesus' name today, we're tearing down those thoughts. God, I'm not going to be captive to my own mind anymore. Those evil thoughts, those destructive thoughts, they're going to be captive to you. God, I'm giving them to you. That's it. Maybe just focus on what that thing is that you think can be so difficult to overcome, and then give it to the Lord. Say, God, I need you to intervene. And I believe God is going to refresh your mind and renew your mind. But if you've never been baptized, let me baptize you today in Jesus' name, and you can experience the washing of your sins. Oh, all across this place, can we begin to pray? Can we begin to seek God in Jesus' name? Let's pray today.